Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon, everyone. It's Friday afternoon, August 8th already. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show, heard here every Friday afternoon on blogtalkradio.com / I should say, the Ron Kelly Show. How are you? How's everybody doing? Glad, extremely, exceedingly, abundantly glad to be with you all here this afternoon. It's a pleasure to serve you all. Thank you for joining me today. Blazing hot. It's about 80 degrees or somewhere around there in northeast New Jersey where I am right now. Actually, on the road, as I have been for the last couple of weeks, on the road, doing my thing for you right here on blogtalkradio.com. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining me. I really, really appreciate it. And we got a lot to talk about today. Where do they find these people? I mean, we'll talk a little bit about President Obama, considered by the cool fringe right-wing Republican Party as the worst president ever. Now, where do they get that from? That's what I want to know. Where do they get that from? The worst president ever, the 44th president of the United States, President Barack Obama, who I support, and they're calling him the worst president ever. I ran across a couple bumper stickers today while I was out and about doing what I need to do. And, you know, a couple bumper stickers, and one of them said, and I quote, "the worst president ever." And this is the bumper stickers on the same car. And then so it must have been somebody from the Kook Fringe Tea Party, conservative wrong wing, I like to call them, faction, not a party, a faction, a cult, if you will. Over there. And it's Reagan. How long has Reagan been dead? Reagan hero, Obama zero. Reagan hero, Obama zero. Now, where the hell do they get off at calling President Obama a zero? You know, a little bit later on in the program, when I get back to the studio, a little bit later on in the program, we're going to read between the lines of the 40% approval rating. It's being reported. The 40% approval rating of President Obama. We're going to talk about that. We're going to read between the lines. See, because you know the Kook Fringe, the psychopathic Republican Party. See, they try to find all kinds of ways. You know, they're masters at disguise. First of all, masters of disguise. And they're masquerading as a political party when they're the furthest thing from it. Ladies and gentlemen, masquerading as a political party. And they're not. They claim to be the standard bearers of Constitution of the United States of America. They're not. They're fraudulent, total frauds. I'm going to tell you why. A little bit later on in the program when I get to where I need to go, we're going to talk about these statistics that are being bandied about by the Republican Party that don't look well for the president. We're going to look between the lines. See, because, you know, I will say this before I even get to that part, when we get to that a little bit later on in the show, I will say this, that, see, you know, and I spoke a little bit about this last week, 1.2 million jobs over the last 6 months created by the failed policies, as they're called, failed policies, President Barack Obama. Failed policies. Doesn't sound like a failure to me. What do they get off at? Failed policies. 1.2 million jobs created over the last 6 months, 9 million jobs created over President Barack Obama's presidency, and all the jobs that were lost during the Bush, the really, really failed policies of George Bush, all those jobs that were lost have been recouped by the Obama regime, as it's called. Regime. There's no regime. It's utter nonsense, fools. There's no regime. What regime? Do you even know what a regime is? Apparently not. Iraq was a regime. You know, Grenada, before the Marines stormed it, was a regime. Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, that was a regime, idiots. This isn't a regime. This is a presidency. There's checks and balances here. The Republicans were around when it wasn't an all-Democratic Congress when the Affordable Care Act was passed. Give me a break. No regime. This is just part of the Republican nonsense, how they like to twist words, twist statistics. For example, they'll say, well, you know, yeah, they created a lot of jobs. Or they'll say, oh, you know what, the unemployment rate is down because, their unemployment rate is down because so many people have left the workforce. How the hell do you leave the workforce? Excuse me. I get like this when I talk about the Republicans. I just start losing my voice, like they've lost their minds. But how do you leave the workforce? Somebody, please tell me. Don't call into the show right now. I won't be able to answer you because I'm not in the studio. I'm out and about. But how do you leave the workforce? Somebody, please tell me that. Email me, rkellytalk@aol.com. Or you can go to my Facebook page, The Ron Kelly Show on Facebook, and you can, somebody help me with this. The unemployment rate is not down because more people have gotten jobs, not down because 9 million people have gotten jobs, or 1.2 million folks over the last 6 months of 2014 have found jobs. Not because they've found jobs. It's because they've left the workforce. How the hell do you leave this? Especially in a country like United States of America where it costs money just to breathe. How can you leave the workforce? It's utter nonsense. The Republicans, they have PhDs in nonsense. And that's all they do. They twist words. They perpetrate frauds. The Kool-Aid, don't fall for the garbage coming out of the Republican Party, the nonsense. John Boehner doesn't lead the party. The party leads him. John Boehner is a puppet. He's a puppet. He's afraid to lose that speaker's position because the speaker is third in line for the presidency. If something was happened to President Obama or Vice President Biden, the speaker would be the next person in line to be president. In this day and age, that's entirely possible. Protections. The president is not 100% safe. Neither is the vice president. Safer than any of us, but not completely safe. So he that's his only shot at being president. He knows it. It's his only shot at being president. There's no other way. And he likes that speaker position. He gets more money. He gets paid more than most of the other Congress people. There's lots of perks, Speaker of the House. Lots of perks. You get to sit up, you get to sit over the president or the vice president. Or you get to sit next to the vice president. You got a ringside seat at every State of the Union address. And I'm sure there's others. I'll look them up. But just total nonsense. But that's just what they do. This is what they do. So this is part of the grand scheme. And as I said last week, I can't stress these things enough. That Mitch McConnell, Senator Mitch McConnell, Tennessee, I believe, was quoted as saying that our single most important issue, not jobs, not the economy, not Afghanistan rather, and Iraq, Iran, nuclear program, not none of that. The single most important issue they had was making sure President Obama was a one-term president. Failed. Now that's a failed policy. Failed miserably. And subsequently, the president was reelected, despite all the other, despite, see, you know, thank God for Americans, you know, who had sense. They didn't drink the Kool-Aid from this clown, Romney and Ryan, who looks like a mannequin. He probably thinks like one, too. Thank God that the people had enough common sense to dispel this garbage trying to sell us about jobs. All these people without jobs. Excuse me. All these people. No jobs. Just utter nonsense. So we're gonna get to all of this. I'm a little, we'll get to all of this. I promise you, we'll get to all of this during the show. We'll get to all of this during the show. You know, let's get on. Let me get myself together. We'll get all ourselves together here, and we'll continue this discussion right here on the Ron Kelly Show. Ladies and gentlemen. And, it's just ridiculous. So, here we go. President Obama ordered airstrikes in Iraq. I was hoping that wouldn't have to, you know, that they wouldn't have to do that, that wouldn't be necessary. I hope, like heck, I have to say heck, because I'm on the radio, that they didn't have to do that. That he didn't have to do that. But evidently, he had to. You see, before we even went to, see, somebody had a crazy idea that we can democratize those Arab countries. We can democratize Afghanistan, where they used to climb in the mountains and living in rocks, rock caves and all of this stuff. They've been doing that for hundreds of years, if not thousands. They've been doing that. They don't have an economy. They don't have what America has. But somebody came up with this idea that maybe we can democratize, have Afghans taking the train to work, have a Wall Street in Afghanistan, have them swiping credit cards and such. And somebody had an idea that we can do something silly like that. You can't democratize these people. I'm not slamming them or anything, but you can't because they've been doing what they've been doing for years. But somebody in the Bush administration, I suppose, George Bush, decided that they could democratize these people. You can't. See what has happened. And this wasn't President Obama's fault. This war had already started, for example. Now that he's got to go back now he's got to go back and order airstrikes on the ISIS, faction. He's forced to do this. Now, this didn't start with him. This didn't start with President Obama. It started with Mr. George Bush, who used Colin Powell, used USED, used Colin Powell to go to the United Nations and tell people that, show pictures of where these weapons were allegedly supposed to be. What weapons? So they used Colin Powell. That's why, one of the reasons why Colin Powell stepped down shortly thereafter, because he knew he had been used. He didn't want to do that in the first place, but he did it because he's a patriot, a real patriot, despite his despite his better judgment, I mean, you're the Secretary of State, you have to do it. He had to do it. So he went to the UN with these phony pictures, courtesy of the Bush administration. And did what he had to do. As an American. As an American who was Secretary of State of this country, he did what was necessary at the time. And then we became embroiled in a war 11 years later, rather 13 years later, despite President Obama's best efforts to end it, it hasn't really officially ended. And it may never end. It may never end. This may never end. Somehow or another, you know, the United States of America is the police of the world. So has been, you know, we've been deputized as the police of the world. So every time something goes wrong, everybody looks to us. They look to us. To the Americans. What are the Americans going to do? So we have to come across every time something goes wrong somewhere. Mostly everywhere. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's about 21 after the hour. I would have gone to commercial right now, but we won't do that. We'll just keep going with the show. Now, I do have to go dark for just a second, though. You know, I will have to come off the air for about 5 minutes. So everybody just bear with me. Not easy to do a show from the street. So everyone just bear with me. And we'll get back to the program as soon as possible. And of course, you can dial into, I mean, in fact, don't dial in, but you could go to the Facebook page, the Ron Kelly Show, and you can post your comment there if you'd like. You can email me, rkellytalk@aol.com. I have access to that at the moment, you know, even though I'm not in the studio, but I do have access to that where you could get with me, and we can you email me. And I can address your concern right here on the air right now. In any case, 22 minutes after the hour, we listen to the Ron Kelly show. And we're heard right here on every Friday afternoon, 4 p.m., blogtalkradio.com. You know, and now, Wednesday, if you don't get enough Ron Kelly here, you can check me out on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Wednesday nights, it's the Bad Boy and the Doc Talk Radio program. The Bad Boy being me, yours truly, News Talk Radio personality, Ron Kelly, along with noted clinical psychologist and author, Dr. Susana Flores, who's on the show with me Wednesday nights from 8 to 9, right here on blogtalkradio.com. So you can tune into that. It's the Ron Kelly Show on Blog Talk right now today, and it's the Ron Kelly Show. It's the Bad Boy and the Doc Talk Radio program on blogtalkradio.com/ the Bad Boy and the Doc. All right, so we'll take a little break. We'll come right back in just a minute. It's Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Thank you. All right, everybody. I am back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Pardon me, everybody. Got a little situation going on right here, as they used to say. Not around here, anyway. But it's so nice to be with you, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me and putting up with me. It's like you put up with the kook fringe Republicans on TV every week, on Fox News at the nonsense. And it's so ridiculous because, the Republicans, they talk about the mainstream media. The media helped Barack Obama. The media helped Barack Obama. The mainstream media. And they all use this term, all of them. The mainstream media. They all bite on the same apple, the mainstream media. The mainstream media did it. The mainstream media helped Barack Obama. The mainstream media took up for Barack Obama. The evil, what does Rush Bimbo call it? The drive-bys. Look at him, man. He's the number one talk radio personality in the country. I don't mention him. Oh, what the heck? I'd like to be in that position one day. Not him, just in the position. All right, we're back, everybody. Now, you're right. I didn't want you to hear the sirens that were passing by as I was driving along. Sirens everywhere. And the failed policy, Barack Obama. There's sirens everywhere, so we can blame the president for that, too. In any case, I apologize, folks. Thank you for hanging on. Thank you for if you didn't hang on. But, so here we go. Now, the mainstream media is the cause of everything. The evil mainstream media is the problem. Not the people, not the 60 million or so that voted for President Obama, but the mainstream media. So the mainstream media caused Barack Obama to be, elected and reelected. It was the evil mainstream media that caused it. Yes. The evil mainstream media caused President Obama to be reelected. We all know that's not true. I support the president. I supported President Bush, even though I disagreed with 99% of what he stood for. I supported the president because he's my president. He's the president of the United States of America, the country that I am a citizen of. So you support your president. Even I never called President Bush, and I had my radio show during Bush's presidency. And I never called him the worst president on earth. Never did that. Even if I thought he was, I never said it. Never. Because he was my president. And see, this is where, this is where the Republicans, just like the congressman from Colorado who yelled out, "You lied." When have you ever saw, when have you ever heard of a speaker of disrespect? You can hear a pin drop during the State of the Union address, historically speaking. You can hear a pin drop. I know I'm bouncing around here, everybody, but just bear with me. You can hear a pin drop during the State of the Union address by the president. No one ever called out lie. You see, these things are, you have to wonder, ladies and gentlemen, you have to wonder why Bush, or you have to wonder why Obama is being called the worst president. Is it because he's the worst president, or is it because he's black? Yes. Is he the worst because he's the worst, or is he the worst because he's black? The worst and the first. First African-American president of the United States of America. I mean, is it coincidental that they call him the worst because he's the first black president? They never said that George Bush was the worst. And he may not have been, but he's up there in the top 10. never said it. Never said President Bush was the worst. You see, you know, because people, you know, people are quick to say, oh, it's not about race, not about race, but it is about race. Racism is alive and well in America these days. I'm not saying that President Obama should get a pass because he's black, like black people get a pass with affirmative action. Oh, well, you know, they're not so smart, so let's dumb down the tests. Just like New York City Fire Department, let's dumb down the tests so they can pass. Totally disagree with affirmative action. 100% in its present form. So, you know, this is what we have here. You know, there's folks who don't like the president because he's black. I mean, come on, let's keep it real here. Let's keep it 100, like they say. There are folks in this country who don't like President Obama because he's black, and only because he is black. And he doesn't get a pass for being black. It's not an excuse. I mean, there are some people who actually don't like him because of his policies, Affordable Care Act being one of them. But there are many folks, those same folks who don't like President Obama are benefiting from his policies, the so-called failed policies. They're benefiting, making money, those who have stocks and, you know, put them in blind trust, whatever the case may be. But they're benefiting from the president's policies. Wall Street up record levels. The S&P. All up. Just right, a record end, you know, a record-setting ending just about every day in recent history. Recently, rather. That's a failure. No, we got this lawsuit against the president, and now, eighth, and I mentioned it on LinkedIn today. Folks on my LinkedIn, folks are listening to the program. I mentioned it on LinkedIn today that they're starting with the eighth. I mean, how how much do you have to dig? It's like a dog who forgot where his bone was. They're just digging all over trying to find it. But the bone doesn't exist, and neither does any wrongdoing on behalf of the president or his administration in regards to Benghazi and what happened. I mean, sure, it was a tragedy, loss of life. Of course no one wants to see anybody get killed, especially, you know, one of our embassies. This should have been the safest place in the world, anywhere in the world. But there's no evidence of wrongdoing. Select committee just concluded their investigation. Nothing. But the kook fringe Republican Party is still going forward with an eighth. Seven investigations, zero confirmation of wrongdoing. Zero. Now we're going to the eighth committee. Oh, boy. I mean, just totally ridiculous. Let me switch gears for a minute, because I'm sick of talking about them. They're sick of talking about themselves. Theodore Wafer, guilty. Theodore Wafer, guilty. Second-degree murder, guilty. Took 2 days for the jury to come back with a verdict. Guilty. 2 days. Guilty of second-degree murder and the death of Renisha McBride, young teenage, 19-year-old girl, killed by this clown who had a shotgun. Now look at this, folks. I mean, you know, you have to be blind, deaf, dumb, and stupid not to convict. Because, I own a firearm. And if something, if this banging on my door that startles me to that degree where I got to reach for my firearm, I also have to reach for the phone to get where my phone is. So that was a weak argument. He forgot where his phone was. Come on. I forgot where my phone was. I never forget where your phone is. I never forget where my phone is. It's right on the nightstand next to me when I go to sleep. Right there. Every time. In case I need it. But this gentleman says that he forgot where his phone was. He was startled. And I watched a little piece of it on HLA Now. They still do the, I mean, there's no more Court TV. So they don't have the Court TV all day, which I used to like the Court TV. The Court TV show, they used to come on showing all the, matter of fact, the Court TV show that was born from the O.J. Simpson trial. That's how Court TV got started. You know, 1995, O.J. Simpson. So, Theodore Wafer, guilty. Now, I watched a little bit of the, let me back that a little bit. I watched a little bit of the trial. And, you know, in this defense lawyers, I mean, you get mad at them. You can't blame them because they're doing what they're supposed to do. They, you know, going to the camp, they have to vigorously defend whoever it is that they're defending, and they have to use every tactic that they can to get their client off, even if they believe that they're guilty. Which is, you know, being a lawyer, you know, you're defending some of the worst scum of the earth, people who you probably detest, but you have to defend them anyway. You have to defend them anyway. Child molesters, rapists, murderers, the worst of society. And you have to, you as a lawyer, especially a defense attorney, I guess it's probably easy to be a prosecutor, but as a defense attorney, you have to defend these people. So you don't get mad at the defense lawyer for doing what she had to do, which was to muddy the victim. I think that's why they say so many bad things about lawyers. But she had to muddy the victim, Radisha McBride, who had been using substances, had been drinking. But that's not, last I heard, that wasn't your reason to kill somebody. In that case, a whole bunch of people would be dead. So, what happened, you know, during the trial, I mean, I didn't see all of it, but I did see a little piece of it, that she tried to muddy the client, muddy the victim by saying she was drunk, by saying she had banged on the door so loud that it startled him. There was a screen, locked screen door. What banging? How do you bang on his door? You can't bang on a screen. And what killed him was that he shot her through the door, through a closed door. Let me tell you something. I know where my gun is. If somebody bangs on my door in the middle of the night, I'm going to reach for my gun, yes, but I'm also going to dial 911. So if I have to shoot somebody, I'll say, well, listen, I did call 911. You guys can't get here fast enough. So I wound up having to shoot this individual who came into my domain without my permission. So the question I asked earlier was, will this affect the stand your ground folks, the folks who feel like they have a right to shoot you because they have the stand your ground law? Now, the state where Michigan, I believe it was, where Radisha McBride was killed is a standing ground state as well. You see, but somebody's got to get a handle on this thing, because more murders have been committed in these standing ground laws, and more people have gotten off than you know, it's crazy. Florida, many, multiple murders, even one that was on, the First 48, the program First 48 is on A&E. Many of you are probably familiar with that, First 48. I watch it. And there was a young man, 25 years old or so, who killed somebody. The deal was, that, you know, they were stealing, somebody was in his car, stole his radio, or had broke his car door, stole his radio in the past, whatever the case may be, stole his radio. This happened in Florida. You know, Florida is notorious for the standing ground law after this clown, this fool, Zimmerman, nutcase, wannabe police officer, but can't pass physical probably, he's too fat and sloppy and stupid, gets off, gets away with murder. So, Grayson Garcia was the young man's name, in his 20s, who ran downstairs and now chased the guy, stabbed him, all caught on camera. Chased a young man down, teenager, stabbed him with this big butcher knife, killed him. Now, what right do you have to chase somebody down? I don't care what they did. What right do you have treating? If you try that in New Jersey, you'll be in jail. Trust me. So what right do you have to chase someone down, stab them to death, young boy, teenager, and then you get to say you were standing your ground? You weren't standing your ground. You were chasing somebody. How far does your ground extend outside of your house? Is your ground the whole state of Florida? Is that what it is? So when you stand in Florida, you're standing your ground no matter what part of Florida you're in? You're nearly a block away from your house. The guy retreated. He didn't get your radio. He was running away. That's murder. That's murder. And the judge cited standing ground law and let him go. Not guilty. A bench trial. Better to be judged by one than to be judged by 12. It's an old tactic, bench trial. Let the judge decide. Because the judge has to be objective. You don't know what the people are thinking. You don't know what the jury is thinking. But the judge rule according to the law. The jury can rule according to whatever they think. But the judge has to rule according to the law. So it was a smart move by the defense. So ask for a bench trial instead of a jury trial. So the juries are sometimes wrong. In any case, man's found innocent. Walked away from a murder because of the standing ground law. Walked away. What did actually happen was that Mr. Garcia was killed by a street bullet. I don't want to say that it's turned about as fair play or anything like that. Nonsense. The man lost his life, even though he took somebody else's life. I still, don't want to say that, but later on, after the trial, there was another episode of the first 48 where Mr. Garcia was the victim. He had been driving through a certain neighborhood, and he had been killed by a stray bullet. So was it karma? Who knows? But my point being is that, somebody needs to get convicted. It's just going to be a free-for-all. Now, here in New Jersey, if someone comes into your house and you, once they leave, you have to let them go. Try chasing somebody outside of New Jersey and killing them. You're going to jail for a long time because that's murder here. But, I've said in the past, and especially during the Zimmerman trial, during the Trayvon Martin trial, I should say, that these laws are too broad. Just too broad. Too broad, these laws. Not specific enough. There's no boundaries. There's no, like in New Jersey, for example. If you kill someone, let's say, for example, somebody comes into your house. They come into your house, and they come at you. You are free to shoot them. if you find that necessary. But now, if you, let's say you come home or you come downstairs to get a glass of water and someone is, you surprise someone and they're leaving your house and you happen to have your weapon handy, you cannot shoot that person if they're leaving, if they're retreating. And no, you can't shoot them outside and drag them back in the house. The evidence has to show that the person was in the process of coming at you or attacking you. So they better fall in the right spot. The blood spatters better be in the right spot or you're going to jail. You can't shoot them in the back. So these standing ground laws need to be refined, defined, because right now people just think that they can just shoot whoever they want. And lots of people are getting away with first-degree murder, these laws. So will Theodore, so the question being, will Theodore Wafer's conviction on second-degree murder, will that change the mindset of some of these standing ground folks? Yeah, I believe it will. Now, I don't know, you know, if I had been in the studio, I would have checked to find out what happened in the other trial of the man who shot the boy in the gas station for playing his music too loud. Oh, no, you know what? No, I do know what happened with that. He wasn't convicted of murder. He was convicted of attempted murder. Now, you see that? For shooting the other four people, four counts of attempted murder, but he didn't get charged with murder. Now, he'll still spend the rest of his life in jail, but where's the murder charge? What difference does it make? You killed somebody. The folks may, you know, and a lot of folks did say, well, okay, well, at least he's going to jail. But that was my son. I want a murder conviction. Was he going to bring my son back? No. Is the guy going to die in prison anyway? Sure. But someone needed to say that this man was guilty of killing this boy. So he got four counts of second degree. He got four counts of attempted murder, which carry a 25 years apiece, 15 to life, 20 to life. So he's going to spend the rest of his life in jail anyway. So there was not much of an outcry, because the man is going to be in jail for the rest of his life anyway. But had that been my son, I would want a murder conviction. I want the death penalty. You're living in jail, and my tax money is going to take care of you. Three hots in a cot. I doubt if he would have been in. Well, he probably would have been segregated. He probably would have been in. He'll probably be in administrative segregation because he killed a young black man. He's a white man, and there's plenty of African Americans in prison. They will probably be looking to kill him. So, anyway, folks, that's about a few minutes before. I did the entire show from outside. I did the entire show from on the road today, so I apologize if I didn't follow up my information like I usually do with fact. I wasn't able to do that today. But, I thank everybody for listening to the program. You guys have been spectacular, during the course of my years on the radio. I really appreciate not the biggest circle in the world, but a circle of folks who listen to the Ron Kelly Show. And who appreciate me and what I do. I definitely appreciate you all. And I still have the Ron Kelly Show gift packs that I'd like to give out to folks, that I will send it to you if you email me, ronkellyshow.com. And if you email me at Ron Kelly Talk at AOL.com. That's Ron Kelly Talk, R. Kelly Talk, I should say, R. Kelly Talk at AOL.com. It's rkellytalk@AOL.com. You email me, and I will definitely send it to you. All right, so in any case, we're going to break out of here just a couple minutes early, everybody. We've got stuff to do, stuff. So, you know, we'll get back with you guys next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. And don't forget the Dabo and Doc Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Okay, everybody, take care of yourselves. Have a good weekend. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, everybody, remember it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And then we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much for listening, and we're out of here.